Okay, everyone. Paper 116, section 6, which is old single column, page 1275. Got these last two sections of this paper to do. As a little preface, let me just point out a couple more little things that you can see really clearly in referring to this new little chart we've got here, because you'll see how it feeds into what we're going to read tonight. Yeah, and over time we'll continue to kind of use this as a touchstone. Let me just bring up a couple more points here. One thing, if you didn't notice it last time. So if you start over in the rightmost column, as you're going to the left in the columns, notice that you've got the order that we've referred to so many times, that functional order of total deity. You've got creator, controller, upholder, as you go right to left. We'll begin to see use this, more clearly why that order, is in place there in the functional levels of total deity. It's not just when you're thinking about the really, really big picture that comes into play. It comes into play down to the lowest levels. You've got that very definitive ordering of that functionality. Creator, first creator, then controller, and lastly, upholder. Okay, so notice that order. One other little thing that we'll use very directly tonight. Let's think a little bit more about mind on cosmic level 5 there, okay, where you have the third source and center. And when you're talking about mind at that highest level, like we've alluded a couple times, I think it came up quite a bit last week, as a matter of fact, the revelators will talk about absolute mind and infinite mind, all lowercase, in those terms. And the distinction there, when you're taught, is about whether or not you're focusing on the intent of that highest mind or the extent of that highest mind. If you're focusing on the intent, then you say absolute mind. It's sovereign mind, absolute mind, the intent. It's the highest level of that intention expressed directly as mind. And, if you're thinking about that intent side of that highest mind, the personification of that intent, you're talking about the conjoint actor. And, you can literally take that term and make it a proper name, an alternate name for the conjoint actor, the absolute mind, capital A, capital M. Okay? So when you capitalize it like that, it's an alternative name for the conjoint actor, the absolute mindal intent. Okay? But when you're on the extent side, and you talk about the personification of that mind as, when you're thinking about the extensiveness of it, that's the infinite mother spirit. Okay. When you talk about the personification of infinite mind, so that you go the infinite mind, capital I, capital M, that's an alternative name for the infinite mother spirit. Okay. And they just to emphasize that, one time they even used the proper name, the infinite mind spirit. See, just to get you to really to lock in on that fundamental linkage between mind and mother. You know, literally have the infinite mother spirit, the infinite mind spirit, you know, two parallel designations. See, and you know, remember how we talked a little bit about that reservoir character of, you know, when you just say the infinite spirit, when you have that that reservoir of, you know, potential activity of mind, the infinite spirit, but when you actually talk about the functioning, you actualize that potential on that highest level, that's the infinite mother spirit. See, that's the functioning of that potential on that highest level. And so, and just notice that we have two personifications, see, one on the intent side and one on the extent side, one on the father side and one on the mother side. So that you have these two fundamental ways that you are manifesting a personification, a personalization of that phenomenon. And obviously one is more direction-like and one is more place-like, intent and extent. So just, you know, to help you get, you know, start to really get to appreciate where the mother fits into the picture, so that it's an intuitive reference when we, you know, as we continue to point to it. What exactly, you know, when we break the third source and center into all these different proper names, what aspect are we, you know, illuminating by those different proper names? And then just a third little thing, is a little aside. Once you've got these levels of the mothers laid down like this, you know, and here we're just focusing on, you know, that which is most directly appreciated by us as cosmic mind and sort of the immediate antecedents to it. You know, when we point to levels 5 and 6 there, you know, that, like we said, you can think of that as sort of just immediately above that supreme mind. You have the spirit mind, universal spirit mind presence, and the universal spirit presence. You know, it's sort of gradating away from what we are immediately engaging as mind in any, you know, really understandable way. But there's another aspect of mind that, you know, isn't part of this sort of picture related to us, you know, sort of an ascension scheme picture. You've got Havona. Mind in Havona is a separate issue, and it's an issue that they're pretty vague on in the Revelation. You've got one fairly definitive statement. They tell you that, you know, those billion worlds in Havona, that the mind on each world is different. There's a billion different facets of mind in Havona. And they say that point blank. And you can begin, you know, even though they don't really say too much more, once you see this picture and you know how there's this sort of reciprocal relationship between what's out here in the super universes reciprocating across the supreme into what's in the in Havona, in the central universe. You know, so when you're talking about the full hierarchy of cosmic mind out here, you're talking about levels, cosmic levels 1, 2, and 3. And, you know, we like we talked last time, we recognize now that, you know, it's related to the Ancients of Days, the Master Spirits, and the Creative Spirits. And you're going, as I do them in that order, you're going from the most general, the collective superuniverse level, you know, heading towards the more specific, the individual superuniverse level, and then the local universe level. there's a there, you know, I mean, you know that there must be a reciprocal expression, and it's, once you see that, it's pretty obvious what it is, even though they don't really give you much clues about exactly how it works. Instead of the ancients of days, it's the eternals of days. Because remember, there's a billion eternals of days. See, so somehow, even though they don't talk about it, somehow that be able to have a billion different mind facets, that must have something to do with a billion different eternals of days. And then, but see, now that's the most specific rather than the most general. Yeah, but see, yeah, it's just like we expect, kind of reciprocal character. So as we go down, instead of going to the more specific, we're going to be going to the more general as we're thinking about Havona. So we go from the eternals of days to, instead of the master spirits, it's the circuit spirits. And you go, oh yeah, they did make a point of in passing mentioning that in this paper. Remember how when there was that spot where they were really wanting you to think a little bit about mind, and it's what led us to this recognition of the role of the creative mother agencies of the ancients of days, you know, to fill out the picture and everything. They mentioned the circuit spirits, you know, seven circuit spirits. So you go from, you know, something that's for each world in Havona to something that's for each circuit. Well, what about for the collective of all seven circuits? Well, this is something that is, you know, we've never brought up before. If you go back and read about Havona, you know that there was a firstborn creator son who did an experiential bestowal through all seven circuits of Havona. Well, wherever there's a creator son, there's a creative spirit. They're created simultaneously. There's a firstborn creative spirit. Where does it fit in? You know, and maybe it's even a creative mother spirit. Again, we don't know a lot here. You know, so maybe you could say she, but where does that creative spirit fit into the picture? Well, if you follow the pattern, it must have something to do with mind and the collective of all seven circuits in Havana. Because it's got to be parallel. So you go eternals of days instead of ancients of days, circuit spirits instead of master spirits, and then that firstborn creative spirit instead of all of the, you know, the creative spirits that are paired with the creator sons out here in the super universe. And that's most likely what, you know, and so those three together in ways that they don't directly reveal must have something to do with creating the mindal character of Havona.
Because
they're not, you know, they don't really directly fit into this picture. And also, we don't really know exactly even what we mean by that. We just, you know, you can just see that there's got to be something going on there relative to those three. No. I mean, there's a firstborn creator son that has nothing to do with the super universe level.
Oh.
He does his bestowal. It's a special kind of bestowal, an experiential bestowal through all seven circuits of Havona, and that's what makes it's through him that the bestowal of the eternal son himself in Havona is actually made manifest to the inhabitants of the central universe.
Not the eternal son that does that bestowal.
Well, the eternal son does a bestowal, but obviously that's at an incredibly transcendent level. Right. I mean, so transcendent that it's really not even tangible to the Havona natives.
This is the first creator son.
There's a firstborn creator son. Now, there's a firstborn creator son. You know, and whenever there's a creator son created, you know, immediately the infinite spirit becomes pregnant with a creative spirit. So you know there has to be one, and as far as I know, it's not mentioned in Revelation. But it's just, I mean, it's an obvious deduction. There obviously has to be one. You know, and it's obviously she's going to be paired with this this bestowal experience through the circuits, you know, so that there's a collect. She has a going to have a collective relationship, complementary to that collective experiential relationship that that firstborn creator son has with the Avona.
The seven bestowals and then a sovereignty of.
Yeah, you see, you know, you don't really know. See, I mean, it's all very vague and unrevealed, you know, all these details. But, you know, once you start putting a piece together like this, it's like, you know, that's pretty obvious. That's got to be somehow be, you know, what's behind it. Exactly how, we don't know, or what, you know. But so just to give you a sense, see, if once you lay something out like this, it immediately starts to give you a whole new platform upon which to begin to put pieces together. And you know, in many ways, it was, you know, that final linkage was recognizing that that one unrevealed but slightly revealed fact, you know, the creative agencies, the ancients of days, it was, you know, really thinking about that, putting the pieces together. It's like, okay, I know what that's got to be. And, you know, once you do that, then you start to see this.
So what did the ancients, you've got ancients of days and the sevenfold creators. What do they create? I mean, well, you have it under
the ancients of days are involved in a lot of things. I mean, you know, primarily, you know, from the way we think about them, is they're the administrators of the super universe.
But you've got about the sevenfold creators. Is this right. How you read it? Is down?
Right. There's remember, there's three of them for each super universe. Mm-hmm. You know, they are they are your super universe fathers, those three. You know, they are the creators, you know, that are those three together that are tied to an individual super universe. However, like we pointed out, unlike the master spirits who are truly sevenfold and distinct, those 21 ancients of days all the way around all seven super universes, they're the same. I mean, they have different personalities, but their nature is the same. The nature of the master spirits is not the same. You know, it's much more than just a personality difference. It is, you know, a very distinct, different type of self, different type of deity flavor. Okay, but the deity flavor of all 21 ancients of days is the same. See, so they provide this, you know, in a collective sense. They can give rise to those creative mother agencies that give you this collective mother presence for all seven super universes together.
Were like adjudicators. I didn't think that they were creators.
Well, I mean, we think about them, they're Trinity or origin beings. We think about them functioning in that very direct role of the Trinity as justice administration. But the Trinity doesn't stop there. That's the whole point we're trying to make. You know, we're trying to begin to understand that full spectrum. You start with the Trinity, you know, and you're heading towards the infinite upholder and creating this spectrum. It starts with justice administration, and it goes to totality attitudes, then it goes to coordinate action, and then it goes to cosmic overcontrol. In other words, it goes from through womb, focalizer, and upholder. You know, we've got these very definitive mother-like functionalities. You know, and a Trinity origin being is right there to be part of that mother phenomenon. You know, and you know, this is the beginning of appreciating that. You know, is recognizing that they create these mothers for the collective super universe level. Creative mother agencies. Okay, so we'll just, you know, continue to study it and, you know, see if you can begin to, you know, to see how this works, be able to think in it. It'll you know, serve as an ongoing aid, like I say at the bottom, you know, for your study. All right, so who wants to read here? Let's jump in and get going. You want to read, Jim? Okay. And maybe just while he's getting down here. Like I mentioned at the end last time, you know, look at the title of this section, Spirit Dominance. You know, we're We're in the midst of this paper called The Almighty Supreme. We've been talking a lot about power. But we know that there's the other aspect of the Supreme, and they are definitely building towards that. And they're going to, you'll see, as we go through this, I'm going to point out all of the times, it's over and over and over again, they're just begging the recognition. You know, they'll have something, and then it's obviously labeled the Almighty Supreme, and then they'll have another something that's not labeled. You know, can you label it? you know you can. You know it's going to be the Universal Mother, the other half of the picture. You know, that more spirit-mind part as opposed to the power side of the picture. Okay.
Six, spirit dominance. In the evolutionary superuniverses, energy matter is dominant, except in personality, where spirit, through the mediation of mind, is struggling for the mastery. The goal of the evolutionary universes is the subjugation of energy matter by mind, the coordination of mind with spirit, and all of this by virtue of the creative and unifying presence of personality. Thus, in relation to personality, do physical systems become subordinate, mind systems coordinate, and spirit systems directive.
Okay. This should look quite familiar. You know, we've had this discussion before. So here it is again. Personality purposes spirit so that it can be directive, so that it can direct the coordination of mind, so that mind can master the physical systems. That's the pattern as we come down that hierarchy. Personality, spirit, mind, matter. Okay, so there it is again. And this, you know, this very specific terminology here of subordinate, coordinate, you may remember back in paper 112, the personality survival paper, right at the beginning of section 2 on the self, and the title is The Self, that section, they said the following. It would be helpful in the study of selfhood to remember, one, that physical systems are subordinate, two, that intellectual systems are coordinate, three, that personality is superordinate, four, that the indwelling spiritual force is potentially directive. Okay, see, so there you see it again. And there, you know, they purposely put in that potentially, so you can, you know, we've stressed that, I'm pretty sure back when we talked about this. It is the Lucifer Manifesto, you know, third principle of the Lucifer Manifesto, to think that spirit is self-directive, that it's automatically directive. No, it's just potentially directive. It's just an energy.
We don't have to choose it.
You know, personality must purpose it. And it can purpose it because it's spirit pattern. Therefore, spirit is potentially directive. Okay? Okay? Now, in this context, when they were talking about self, you know, we pointed out, the self is a mindal self. You know, intellectual systems are coordinate with self. You know, they're on the same order. And personality is above that order, superordinate. And the physical system, your body, is below that, superordinate, below that order.
Subordinate,
excuse me. Super and sub.
Good catch.
Okay. Yeah, you got to watch me here.
He's listening.
Okay. So, you know, so that they were using this same terminology in this very individual discussion. But if you look right there, okay, you're at the very beginning of section 2, and you look right up into section 1, and what do you see? This distinction is vital. Okay, just two paragraphs, three paragraphs back from that. Okay, so, see, right before they told you that, they were giving us that very key sentence. Individual members in a cosmic system are only connected through the individuality of the whole. We just mentioned that. We've got this mother functionality, coordinate action. Oh, coordinate action. That word coordinates in that. Oh, and we're using coordinate here. Individuality of the whole is the mother. What do we keep using coordinate relative to? Mind. Like you're just pointing out, this very fundamental linkage between the mother and mind, and this coordinate action. So when you go back to their restatement of this language that we just read, notice they're taking it to the general setting, not just talking about the individual selves and understanding exactly how that works with you as a self, or personality is superordinate and your body is subordinate, etc. In the full cosmos, think about it in the full cosmos. Again, it's cosmos is mind made and personality managed. Okay, personality is purposing spirit, so that there's a directive spirit. Okay, and that right there, the spirit systems directive, and mind systems can be coordinate. Well, now we see we're in mind systems, really thinking about the collective here. You can see very directly the role of the mother. I mean, because this distinction is vital. The individual members are not coordinated with each other except through the individuality of the whole. The only way for mind systems to be coordinate is using the coordinate action, mother as focalizer, to actualize that coordination. Okay. So, the father is initiating this, with the directive aspect being, actualized in spirit. Through personality, it's purposing spirit. But that doesn't automatically lead to coordination. Again, to think that it automatically leads to coordination is the third principle of the Lucifer Manifesto. To think that either of these things is automatic, that's what Lucifer was putting forward. No, the first requires God the Father, and the second requires God the Mother. This distinction is vital. So that's what they're doing here. See, they've purposely gave you this very tight parallel of language, because back there, when you're just talking about the individual, it's easy to just, it's about me and God the Father and this, because there's that individual relationship. But actually, there's no coordination internally either without the mother. And that's why you have to have that twofold consecration. It starts with, I consecrate my will to the perfect will of God the Father. Okay, so now my spirit, relationship with spirit, is purposed. It is now a rightly directed phenomenon that can engage my mind. But it's not done. That's just potentializing my progressing self. To actualize it, you have to consecrate your mind to the universal harmony of God the Mother. Just ask that question. Okay, God the Father has given me this ability to make spirit directive. Why? Because I got a direct mind. God the Mother has made it so that my mind can be coordinated. Why? So that I can master physical systems. That's what we're all heading to. And the Supreme is at the top of this whole phenomenon, that power personality synthesis. That and the controllers coming down to the master physical controllers, those who are actually going to be that final spear point of gripping that matter and mastering it, and you extend all the way back to the personality anchor at the other end, so that there's a power personality synthesis that can happen. And the only way that all can happen is initiated by the Father and extended down through the Mother to the Matter.
Is there something higher than, is the universal, see, there's the absolute, God the absolute. Is the universal Father before, the first thing for everything and then everything else?
In this context, yes. When you're just, if you take it out of this context, and if you're just thinking about God the Father, the root of God the Father is the first source and center. The root is the first center. It's the first source built upon that. The Father built upon that. The Creator, the Controller, the Infinite Upholder. That's, as you extend out from the foundation, it goes first center, first source, universal Father, universal Creator, universal Controller, Infinite Upholder. But that's the fullness of God the Father. Here we're just thinking about that aspect of God the Father that is expressing in a sub-infinite way, expressing in a sub-infinite way in this downreach to engage things and beings. And in that sense, you don't directly have the first center or the first source or the universal Creator in play. It's the universal Father and universal Controller. Yeah, but there's nothing above that. God the Father is the top.
So nothing is higher than God the Father.
That's the first source and center of all things and beings. Yeah.
It kind of confuses me when I read about God the Absolute.
It is very confusing, but but to begin to appreciate it, remember there's a first source and center that's absolute, but there's also a second source and center, and a third source and center, and a paradise source and center. All three of those are absolute too. But they're not as absolute. The first source and center is the absolute of absolutes.
Okay.
And all it is, God the Absolute is coming in. You've got these existential ones that are underneath the absolute of absolutes, but you have an experiential one that comes in under that too. And a few other things too, like the consummator of universe destiny is the absolute one. And, there's some other things in that absolute picture that aren't immediately apparent when you start with nothing but the seven absolutes of infinity. The Paradise Trinity is an absolute phenomenon too.
Okay.
So there's a number of absolutes in play, but you can always think of the first source and center is the absolute of absolutes.
We're going to read on the paragraph 3 what I'm getting at here, but on absolute levels, energy and spirit are one, but the moment departure is made from such absolute levels, difference appears. And, the further you get on those absolute levels, on paradise level, there really doesn't seem to be, in my mind, the need for that intervening mind, as that's what they're saying. But as you diverge from paradise, you're going
out. Yes and no.
Yeah, okay.
There's mind right here.
Right.
That's interfacing between the eternal sun and the aisle.
Yeah.
So there's...
But it's kind of spirit mind.
But it is the case that... Well, not the third source and center. That's mind. But you can very directly think of that infinite mind, absolute mind, as mind. Mm-hmm. The mindedness of the second source and center and the first source and center, okay, that's a little more abstract.
Right.
Yeah. But even as we go forward, you'll begin to see we'll use this as a way to begin to appreciate that a little bit better.
But my point was, as you go further out in infinity, away from paradise, the Isle of Paradise,
right,
that's what they're talking about in that paragraph. Yeah. The divergence between the top side of paradise and the bottom side of paradise widens. And you have a greater need for mind to intervene as you go further out.
So, practically, from us little moral humans here, you take this progression of personality, spirit, mind, physical, and I'm trying to get rid of this backache I have, which is the physical. And my mind is saying, working on it really hard. My spirit is telling me, hey, it's going to happen. My personality is directing my spirit to say, but I'm still embryonic. From a practical point of view, do you think it's, you think when you get to the point of, in a planet of light and life, that human beings get to a point where they're kind of like able to do that, where Jesus says to his apostles, I have meat wherever you know not of, so to speak. In other words, do you think that eventually happens? You finally get to that sort of point where you can...
you're attacking it from both directions. You're elevating the biologic foundation, as you move towards light and life and into light and life. So there's less potential for a backache.
Okay.
But then on the top, from the other direction, there is. A greater and greater intimacy of linkage between that mindal energy system and that material energy system. And so it's for instance, a good example of this is if we'd gotten the full biologic uplift, the issues with malignant bacteria and viruses would have been a non-issue, simply because the mind would have such a firm grip on the matter that you couldn't have these things coming in from the side and messing it up. The mind just says, no. You are overruled. There definitely is going to be a top-down thing, too, where the mind is going to be more controlling. It's kind of like going from thought changer to thought adjuster to thought controller, that same sort of thing. The more it progresses, the more you have mastered the physical system. Obviously, there's going to be limitations because even in the age of light and life, you still die. But the thing is, a lot of times you don't let the body get that far. You have such a mastery over it that you hold it fully in place until you fuse. See, so that's adequate mastery. You don't need to master it any more than that.
Sometimes when you're worshiping or you feel this closeness with God, sometimes I get kind of nervous to go too far into it because I don't want to. I think I had this fear that I'm going to fuse.
You don't need to have that fear. nothing personal, but you don't need to have that fear.
It always kind of makes me hesitate.
Maybe it's spontaneous combustion.
Because again, remember, that's one of the points of this. As you're going up here towards, directly contacting that thought adjuster where you confuse, is this a spiritual ascent? No. It's a cosmic ascent.
Yeah.
You're not ascending cosmically by, meditating. Man cannot cause growth. You can be the perfect meditator or whatever. You're not, you have to actually get into action. You have to take a greater relationship with that directive spirit potential, and you have to actually get it to engage your physical circumstances and make them better. Weave that spirit into those physical circumstances. And then and only then have you actually manifested a greater cosmic character. Again, the only reason you could do that is because the mother is helping you to be able to have that ability to weave it together. But when Jesus went apart, and he went on to the mountaintop, he didn't go there to grow himself, and get closer to fusing. He went there to recharge his spiritual batteries. He needed some more spirit strength, because there was a whole bunch of things that needed some serious stuff woven into them. Yeah. And his batteries were drained. Right. You know, there was a bunch of stuff that needed to be reinforced with spirit energy. So he needed to recharge those spirit batteries so that he could do that. Recharge the spirit batteries and went out and wove it in. Now, when he actually went out and came down from the mountaintop and started weaving it in, okay, then he's moving up the psychic circles.
Yeah.
You know, and eventually he was a first circler, and eventually right at the point of fusion, you know, it's a baptism.
Chris, when he's recharging, he's actually focusing at a higher level of unity, isn't he?
I mean,
because in order to get deeper, you're going to be, what I was going to say about Pam, as you have a more profound experience, it's probably going to be greater motivation for you to engage in the world when you come out of it.
The only way that you can acquire more spiritual energy than you had before is if you've taken an initial dose, applied it, built a higher cosmic foundation, and then and only then, standing upon that higher cosmic foundation, do you have access to more spirit.
Yeah.
If you don't actually apply it, if you just grab a hold of some spirit and then just let it diffuse, you haven't moved up at all. And so the next time you go for more, you get the exact same little amount that you could get that first time. You never are growing. You're just going around and around a circle. You're grabbing a thimbleful and it, you know, and then it melts away. And then you grab a thimbleful and it melts away. And you grab a thimble, you know.
That's fixed capacity.
Right. You haven't grown in the ability to hold more until you've moved up the cosmic. You have to actually put it into action, bond it to your life, you know, into your life. Make it, you know, come into the rubber, you know, like the steel belts in a tire. It's got, you know, that spiritual strength, you know, it's like those steel belts.
Always think of myself as a leaky bucket. Because everything always just dissipated away.
Yeah.
And I figured, well, how can I plug up those holes? You know?
Yeah. But, no amount of wishful thinking will do it. You have to actually build a more solid container.
Yeah.
You know, you start as a sieve.
Yeah. Chris, should I think of saying, kind of what you wrote on one of your other papers, to choose such cosmic conditions?
But you can supply favorable conditions.
Right. Which are cosmic, right?
You are, this favorable conditions are, obviously there's got to be a consecration of will. You know, nothing even is a potential. So that gets it potentialized. But the more directly, the favorable conditions involve this consecration of your mind to that harmony, that you are consciously choosing to seek greater harmony of mind. Not more, a more energetic mind, not dumping more zeal into it, more spirit energy. You want to make it more harmonious. You want to have the phenomenon where, today you get along better with others than you did yesterday. Why? Because you have a more cosmic character. We keep pointing about this. I mean, you start out with this potentializing of the brotherhood of man through this consecration to the Father, so that there are kindred spirits. You have the potential for the brotherhood of man, but the actuality of the brotherhood of man only comes through kindred minds. Now, collective consecration of minds to the universal harmony. If you reflect the universal harmony and I reflect the universal harmony, guess what? We're connected to each other through the individuality of the whole. And the brotherhood has at least two members. And then it has three members. If you do this, do likewise. You know, the actuality of the brotherhood of man, you know, is a kindred mind phenomenon. Kindred minds, what does that look like? It looks like harmonious minds, minds that are not in as much, you know, discord as they were yesterday. You know, if the discord, if the tensions today are exactly the same as the tensions yesterday, have you grown? No, of course not. You're just standing stationary. You may have lots and lots of wishful thinking. You are, it's like, I will it.
Yeah.
But you have to actualize it. You have to actually do it. And, you
the
know.
Heat that has no that
helps, though.
It's got to start with an intent. It starts with an intent, but there has to be actual extent. You know, there has to be a mother-like extent.
So are we starting to be able to contemplate, since we're talking about cosmic levels as this harmonizing, are we maybe able to identify a threshold where brotherhood can occur as a correlation of these levels?
Well, I mean, it's going to be a real help when you have the seventh adjutant dawn in the collective, so that the Holy Spirit dawns in the collective, so that that which Revelation failed to accomplish, you know, evolution finally will have achieved. I mean, this greater relationship to three cosmic intuitions is the key to kindred minds. Mm-hmm. Because it's sad to record, you know, the corollary of that statement is that, you know, there is no brotherhood of man. That's an illusion, okay? If it wasn't sad to record, then there would be a brotherhood of man, by definition. Because the ability to be on, enough on the same page that there actually could be some brotherhood, not just wishful thinking about the brotherhood, that measure of being on the same page is self-evident. You know, that self-evidency that's in those intuitions, they're intuitions. You just know some things. You're on the same page, at least the same first page. And then if you take delight in cultivating, you can both be on the same second page, and then the same third page. And eventually you'll have the brotherhood of man. You're not going to start actualizing the brotherhood of man until there's this ability to actualize it, until there is actually a relationship with the Holy Spirit that goes beyond the embryonic stage, that just keeps you together as an individual. You know, you're given just enough encirclement in the Holy Spirit so that you can be an individual minimally, you know. Obviously, if they didn't do that, you know, there'd be no hope. I mean, they have to give you that basic, minimal, individual character, you know, that coordination internally. Okay, but there's no automatic coordination externally. We have to take delight in cultivating a greater measure that actually can be linked to any observable degree across through the individuality of the whole to bring us together. Okay. We should
Can I quote from paragraph 3 of The Cosmic Mind? The fact of the cosmic mind, because it's exactly what you're talking about, explains the kinship of various types of human and superhuman minds. Wow. Not only are kindred spirits attracted to each other, but kindred minds are also very fraternal and inclined towards cooperation the one with the other. Human minds are sometimes observed to be running in channels of astonishing similarity and inexplicable agreement.
And that would be paper 16, section
6.
Where they introduce the three cosmic intuitions. That's the one spot in the book where they use that term, kindred minds. And it's only one of the two spots in the book where they use kindred spirits. Okay. They introduce kindred spirits. And then they tell you there, you know, a little bit later, why they introduced the term kindred spirits. So, you know, why do you have kindred spirits? So that you can have kindred minds. Why do you want kindred minds? So that you can have the brotherhood of man. Why do you want the brotherhood of man? So you can have peace on earth. But it's got to go one step at a time.
So, you know, when when man consecrates his will to the doing of your father's will, you know, that's mm-hmm. that. When man gives God all that he has, then does God make that man more than he is? Okay. So if you consecrate your will to the doing of the Father's will, then God has made your mind is a step higher, I guess. It would be
Not really. See, I'm trying to help everyone understand what that sentence means. See, read it again. Then does
God make that man
more than he is. What moreness are we talking about? More potential.
Right.
Okay. God the Father is an existential fact. He potentializes you. Your actuality is experiential, not existential. Any actuality that you have is a relationship to God the Mother. Now, obviously, the more relationship to God the Father you have, the more potential you have, the more actuality you could be. But it's very important to recognize the whole picture. This is the difference between the fourth epical revelation and the fifth. You know, Jesus was just trying to get us to start the process. Okay? Because nothing can actualize until it's potentialized. But, you know, the Father only potentializes you. Your personality is a potential, not an actuality. You're not innately godlike. To think so is the third principle of the Lucifer Manifesto. Okay? You know, your thought adjuster, you know, when that's deposited in you at roughly 6 years of age, boom, you're an infinite being, right? No, not hardly. It's nothing but potential. Nothing but potential. Both those gifts.
Faith in that potential.
You have faith. You use your faith grasp to grab a hold of that potential. But now you got to actualize it. It isn't self-actualizing. You have to choose to actualize it. He made that thought adjuster subservient to your will, wholly subservient. That adjuster can't participate in any actualization unless you will it. That adjuster sits there in stasis until you will it to do something. It does nothing until you will it. Even the spirit of truth is almost wholly subject to your will, remember. And all the greater aspects of the Holy Spirit, too, are subject to your will. But by grace, you're given a little initial encirclement in the Holy Spirit to get you. You have to have a foundation to start with. You got to have something to start with so that you can have a personality, you know, and you can have some directing potential. But the rest of it is fully subject to your will, absolute free will. All right, let's read some more here.
This union of power and personality is expressive on deity levels in and as the Supreme. But the actual evolution of spirit dominance is a growth which is predicated on the free will acts of the creators and creatures of the grand universe.
Kind of like what we were just saying. See?
On absolute levels, energy and spirit are one. But the moment departure is made from such absolute levels, difference appears. And as energy and spirit move spaceward from paradise, the gulf between them widens until in the local universe they have become quite divergent. They are no longer identical, neither are they alike, and mind must intervene to interrelate them.
And just the distinction you'll see as we go forward between identical and alike. Identical, they're starting on absolute levels on paradise. Alike, we're moving into the central universe. Paradise Havona is the contrast there you'll see as we go forward.
That energy can be directionized by the action of controller personalities discloses the responsiveness of energy to mind action. That mass can be stabilized through the action of these same controlling entities indicates the responsiveness of mass to the order-producing presence of mind, and that spirit itself in volitional personality can strive through mind for the mastery of energy matter discloses the potential unity of all finite creation.
If you're wondering why they kind of, it seems like they're almost repeating themselves to start with there. No, the first is energy, second is mass. Mass, you're implying power, purposed energy. So it was just, you know, emphasizing, you know, even if it's purposed energy, it still can be mastered. Hyde, you know, it's a power personality synthesis that we're going for here, not just an energy personality synthesis. Yeah. Pattern on both ends. Okay. You know, just because there's pattern on that low end doesn't mean that you don't still have spirit dominance. The initiation comes top down, not bottom up.
There is an interdependence of all forces and personalities throughout the universe of universes. Creator sons and creator spirits,
creative spirits
depend on the cooperative function of the power centers and physical controllers in the organization of universes. The supreme power directors are incomplete without the over-control of the master spirits. In a human being, the mechanism of physical life is responsive, in part, to the dictates of personal mind. This very mind may, in turn, become dominated by the leadings of a purposive spirit. And the result of such evolutionary development is the production of a new child of the Supreme, a new personal unification of the several kinds of cosmic reality.
Yes. Just notice there, purposive spirit, just like we were saying. It's all, you know, all these things that, you know, when I speak in these synthesized ways about, you know, how this all hangs together, it's all there. You can find it. Yeah. If you just put all the statements together in the book. Spirit is purposed by personality. It's just basically point blank right in this section here, for instance.
It's really precise.
Okay.
And as it is with the parts, so it is with the whole. The spirit person of supremacy requires the evolutionary power of the Almighty to achieve completion of deity and to attain destiny of Trinity association. The effort is made by the personalities of time and space, but the culmination and consummation of this effort is the act of the Almighty Supreme. And while the growth of the whole is thus a totalizing of the collective growth of the parts, it equally follows that the evolution of the parts is a segmented reflection of the purposive growth of the whole.
Okay. Two things in here where they're bringing out the twofold aspect of the Supreme. Just notice that first statement. The spirit person of supremacy requires the evolutionary power of the Almighty to achieve completion of deity and to attain destiny of Trinity association. Okay, now when we're talking about attaining destiny of Trinity association, we're talking about the first experiential Trinity, which consists of the Supreme Creators, the Supreme Being, and the Architects of the Master Universe. Okay, in particular, the Supreme Being is who you're talking about, you know, is the element in that destiny of Trinity association. So, and you've got directly, you see, you've got three things in this sentence. That third thing is the Supreme Being. The second thing is the Almighty. What's the first thing? The spirit person of supremacy. That's not the Supreme Being. That's the third part of the sentence. See, what is the first part of the sentence? That's the Universal Mother. You know, that's the Mother. You know, to be more precise in the parallel, you have the Mother and the Almighty coming together in the Supreme Being. You just notice that everything is there except the label. They're trying to, you know, before they give you the label, they're trying to see if you can notice that there's something that doesn't have a label on it. You know, Or did that? Did your mind just roll over that? If it did, you're not ready to discover the mother yet. Yeah, that's the way the book is constructed. You need to expand enough that you can see what I just pointed out there. Do you have enough extent to see what they just did there? You know, or, you know, if you've got this tiny little extent, by the time you get to the second thing in the sentence, you've forgotten the first thing in the sentence. Okay. And by the time you get to the third thing in the sentence, you've forgotten the first two. Yeah. You know, and you're not putting anything together.
Okay? Chris. I'm embarrassed.
Right? That's what we're talking about. It's that simple. The only way to find the mother is if somehow you have created, supplied the favorable conditions, if you've expanded the horizons, if you have a greater extent so that you can see that whole sentence together and recognize, one, two, three things, okay? Do I know the names of those three things?
Chris, you were talking about finding the label.
Mm-hmm.
With when you open the meditation of silence,
right.
You don't put on the label
right.
There.
Because they didn't there.
Why wouldn't you want to put on the label God is Supreme?
Well, first of all, I want you to experientially discover that label.
Yeah.
I'm doing it just like they did it. You know, notice even the order in the sentence. They put the whole and then the individuality of the whole. And notice what I just said. Can you actually see that whole sentence and not word by word? If you can actually get to the point where you have a relation to the whole, now you've got the first step. You know? So it's very purposely constructed so that you experientially discover the mother. You have to first discover the whole, then the individuality of the whole. And then once you discover that individuality and you recognize its character, you go, I know what that character is called. I know those characteristics. Those characteristics are called mother characteristics. Okay? You know what the label is once you've recognized the individuality. So that's the process. They're very purposely forcing you to do this process because they want to reveal the truth of the mother. They don't want you to say mother and have you run off with all kinds of false preconceptions about what that means. They're not even going to allow you to discover it unless you've methodically done it. It's kind of like, you know, the whole bit about mercy. You know, we talked about this recently. First just, then fair. Yeah. So think about that. You could look for that in the book. If they're trying to reveal true mercy in the book, probably the only way to find it is to first discover just, then fair, then patient, then kind. I mean, they're very purposely trying to lead you through the evolutionary process so that, you know, it's only if you approach it that way that you've supplied the favorable conditions where you will be grown to the point of true mercy. You can't just fiat put yourself into the state of true mercy. You have to be grown to that state.
And you can't put yourself fiat even to the level of patience if you're not even obeying laws.
If you're not law-abiding and honest,
yeah.
You're a long ways from patience.
You need the stick.
You're not even fair yet, you know? I mean, because you're not even just yet. You know, you're completely embryonic.
It didn't even occur to me until right. Now.
Yeah.
That's
yeah. Yeah. Okay. Oh, wait. That's right. The other part of that. I can't let the other part go by because it's very important. Okay. So you see the three things. The mother is there, and then that last part. And while the growth of the whole is thus a totalizing of the collective growth of the parts. Okay, that's the, remember we talked about that at the end of the previous paper, that summarizer, that's the almighty part of the picture. And notice how bottom up that part of the picture is, like we've been kind of pointing out so many times, you know, if you have it, coming down through the controllers and up through the, I mean, down through the creators and then up through the controllers to the Almighty. Okay. And so it, so directly it's a welling up from the bottom, this, this totalizing of the parts, summarizer, the Almighty. The other direction, that's the bottom up. What's the top down part of it? It equally follows that the evolution of the parts is a segmented reflection of the purposive growth of the whole. Okay, I've tried to carefully give you labels, predicated on their verbiage back in the triunities, relating the to the Almighty and the Mother. The Almighty is the pattern, is the power pattern facet. The Mother is the personal purposive facet. That word purposive, that's the Mother half of the picture. And notice how fundamentally top down it is, like they're pointing out here. Because it's coming down from the Trinity, down from the top. And so when we go to the next paper, the title of the paper is God the Supreme, which we know is the unity viewpoint designation, the top down designation. In that paper, we finally get the label, the Universal Mother. See, they're setting it up right here. You know, and you've heard me say this several times now. You know, our whole viewpoint of God is predisposed to this bottom up viewpoint. It all starts with us as an individual, and then some exalted notion of individuality, and that's God. Well, in the case of the Supreme, that's not going to get you very far. Okay, that maybe gets you the Almighty Supreme. Well, yeah, that reminds me of him calling God the Almighty all those times in the Old Testament. See, that's what you're getting. That bottom-up part of the Supreme, the Almighty. In order to see the Mother, you've got to actually have a top-down perspective. Not just an inclination to have a relationship with unity. You actually have to have a unity viewpoint. The Father will, you know, puts the word unity in your head. It gives you this notion of unity. But have you actualized any of that potential? Do you actually have a top-down viewpoint? That's the purpose of the fifth epoch of Revelation, to challenge you to actually, to take delight in cultivating that potential the Father gave you so that you actually can see this other perspective. And when you can see that, you can see the Mother. Okay.
On paradise, Manota and spirit are as one.
Manota is the substance of the material substance of the isle.
Okay. Indistinguishable except by name. In Havona, matter and spirit, while distinguishably different. Are at the same time intimately harmonious.
No, innately.
Innately harmonious.
Very important that it's innately.
What did I say?
Intimately. Yeah. And let's just stop there, so as long as, you know, as we kind of broke the thought there. There it is right there. What do they mean by the difference between identical and alike? It's what they just say. Okay. Identical, indistinguishable except by name. That's identical. Alike, that's, they're distinguishably different, you know, but they are at the same time innately harmonious. Okay, that's what they mean by alike. That's the state that Lucifer was imagining was out here. An innately harmonious state.
Right.
Now, how many times have you heard me try to stress that? You do not live in Havona. And if you don't really, really recognize that. I mean, you can say, oh, yeah, of course I don't. Are you sure you aren't still letting that spiritual consciousness run away and assume that? Are you guarding it carefully? Because if you don't, you're going to start to think that things are innately harmonious, that I can just wish the brotherhood of man into existence. You know, or maybe I think it already is in existence, you know. depending on how delusional you are. I mean, that's the third principle of the Lucifer Manifesto, to think that you live in an innately harmonious domain, that mind is innately divine. That's the third principle of the Lucifer Manifesto. Right? This is the key. And you have to really, really challenge your spiritual consciousness to not do that. It will do it unless you tell it not to. Lucifer didn't tell it not to, and so it did it. Remember, I tried to point out, that's why they give you that whole story of Lucifer, so that you can understand. It's not because Lucifer is some innately evil being, iniquitous being by birth. No, he's just like you and I. Okay? And he has to obey the same laws of spirit substance as everyone else. Spirit substance has a pathology to it. A sequence of events that reflect its nature. If you do not purpose it to not go down that path, it will inexorably go down that path. It will create an illusion in your mind of innate harmony. You know, it'll cloud your vision and you'll see harmony where there isn't. And you'll start to declare and believe that there is when there isn't. And you're missing the whole point, if at the very least, of why you were created. You were created to see, to face the facts and adjust them, my ideals, and to do what's in this next sentence. You read.
In the seven super universes, however, there is great divergence. There is a wide gulf between cosmic energy and divine spirit. Therefore, is there a greater experiential potential for mind action in harmonizing and eventually unifying physical pattern with spiritual purposes. In the time-evolving universes of space, there is greater divinity attenuation, more difficult problems to be solved, and larger opportunities to acquire experience in their solution. And this entire super-universe situation brings into being a larger arena of evolutionary existence in which the possibility of cosmic experience is made available alike to creator, creature, and creator, even to supreme deity.
Okay, even to supreme deity. Okay, so we've been talking a lot about ourselves. Let's get back to the point at hand here. You know, this is the title of this paper, is The Almighty Supreme, not, you know, you and I. So, you know, let's pick up on that point. Even to supreme deity. So back up in the paragraph, and what do you see? You see eventually unifying physical pattern with spiritual purposes. Okay, even to supreme deity. In the domain of supreme deity, what do you call the facet that's tied to physical pattern?
Almighty.
Yeah, the Almighty. And what do you call the facet that's tied to spiritual purposes?
Supreme being.
No?
Mother.
The Mother. The Mother. There's two things, the Almighty and the Mother. Yeah? The Supreme is not monolithic. The Supreme has two facets. Yeah? They keep saying it over and over and over and over. That's the name of the two facets, the power pattern and the personal purposive. See, the physical pattern and the spiritual purposes. The Almighty and the Mother come together to make the Supreme. You can't make the Supreme just out of the Almighty. You can't make the Supreme just out of the Mother. It takes both of them together as one to make the Supreme. Okay? And once you have that type of deity, the Supreme, you can have a personalization of that type of deity called God the Supreme. Or the individuality name, the Supreme Being. Okay. Yeah. The Supreme Being, you know, when all is said and done with the finite, the Supreme Being stands as the synthesis. Those two together as one. Okay. So just, again, it's just over and over and over again. They're giving you two things and trying to get you to see it. You know, if you notice that.
Right. The dominance of spirit which is existential on absolute levels, becomes an evolutionary experience on finite levels, and in the seven super universes. And this experience is shared alike by all, from mortal man to the supreme being. All strive, personally strive, in the achievement. All participate, personally participate, in the destiny.
So you just notice that. I mean, why do they stress personally? The Father initiates. Yes, the Father initiates everything. First source and center of everything. Initiates everything. But he only initiates. He doesn't complete. Mm-hmm. He just initiates. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you have to start with consecrating your will, the perfect will of God the Father, so that you can have these adverbs here. You know, so it's not just striving, it's personally striving, and it's not just participating, it's personally participating. Okay, but just because it's you have personality doesn't mean automatically, you know, all of the striving is achieved, all the participating is actualized, you know, boink, brotherhood of man. You know, doesn't happen. Okay. So you have to actually do that, and it only happens spread over time because it's fundamentally a temporal phenomenon, a mother phenomenon.
Regarding the brotherhood of man, where does the magisterial son come in? Does the magisterial son have to bring the collective?
The magisterial son is the mindful uplifter.
Yeah.
Plays a key role, see, you know, in this relationship to the mother. Upstepping this relationship to the mother. But think about the normal order of things. See how that's supposed to work. You're supposed to be taking that initial little by grace encirclement in the Holy Spirit, and you get a solid grip on it with a biologic uplift. And then comes the magisterial son, the mindful uplifter, and he expands what you can on that foundation. And then comes the spiritual uplifter. It all happens in a much more gradually sort of fashion. And instead, Michael chose to skip the mindful step in the pretext of almost no biologic step. Okay. And bring in the full measure of the spirit potential. He wanted to fully potentialize the system before there's really anything to do with it. Now, one could say, well, does that just mean it sort of just sits there in endless waiting for this to finally catch up? Well, yeah, to a degree. But we're quivering now on the very brink of finally getting some of this stuff that where Revelation failed, you know, or was skipped, getting that made up for, at least enough where these potentials that Michael gave us can start to really do something. And so what you're going to do is create, you know, one of the largest spark gaps, okay, that the local universe or maybe even the super universe has ever seen. You know, you're just going to get it actually to the point where it can do something, and instead of gradually growing it and then, you know, bringing in, you know, you're going to have all of it just waiting to pounce the moment that it's actually able. So, you know, this is why you can wonder what the future holds for this planet. You can have a really, really huge suddenly in the not too distant future, because there's this incredible, the system has been potentialized, you know, like no, yeah, the high voltage, it's about the highest voltage that, you know, has ever been created. Okay, in the super universes. What will that lead to? The whole universe is quivering in wonder about it. You know, they're all watching us. It's like, well, I wonder what's going to happen. You know, is it just going to melt? Or, you know, what happens when you actually close that knife switch?
So you say the magisterial son, the left hand is where we're at mindily, and the right hand is this spirit potential that Michael... Mm-hmm. Potentialized. the magisterial son is going to try to bring that left hand closer to that right hand.
Well, right? Normally, you know, it's a very, yeah, he raises it up and then, you know, I mean, it's all this very, but my guess is he's, one of his roles is probably going to be to help us to not melt, okay? Yeah. Yeah. He's going to need to help us to transition very rapidly.
Yes.
Through this process of actually bringing mind up to speed, because it's going to be driven hard by all of this spirit.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to be a trickle. There's all this spirit. It's going to drive that mind really hard, and we're going to need all the help we can get.
Yeah, he has to have reluctance.
So you can just start
like an inductor.
Think about how this is, you know, how this is going to work. Do you want to just...
Sure.
Because see, we finished that section, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Seven, the living organism of the grand universe.
No, I got a comment on the title before we go any further. About forgot, because it's a cool title.
Yeah.
Okay. Grand universe. You know, we talked about the word universe and a whole. Oh, okay. So it's talking about a certain whole here, the living organism of the whole. That sounds a lot like a phrase we've been saying a lot lately. Like maybe the individuality of the whole.
Yeah.
Okay. It's another way of saying what we've been saying over and over, this title of this section. Okay. The individuality of the whole. And the whole we're talking about is the total finite whole, you know, the grand universe. Mm.
Living okay. Is vital.
Right. This distinction is vital, living. Okay. Yeah. See? All right.
I like it.
Okay. I mean, it's all here. Just put the pieces together. Notice what they're doing here. They are so definitively, in these last two sections, building you up to what they want to, you know, reach the apex of in the middle of the next paper. It's all right here.
The grand universe is not only a material creation of physical grandeur, spirit sublimity, and intellectual magnitude. It is also a magnificent and responsive living organism. There is actual life pulsating throughout the mechanism of the vast creation of the vibrant cosmos. The physical reality of the universes is symbolic of the perceivable reality of the Almighty Supreme. And this material and living organism is penetrated by intelligent circuits, even as the human body is traversed by a network of neural sensation paths. This physical universe is permeated by energy lanes, which effectively activate material creation, even as the human body is nourished and energized by the circulatory distribution of the assimilable energy products of nourishment. The vast universe is not without those coordinating centers of magnificent overcontrol, which might be compared to the delicate chemical control system of the human mechanism. But if you only knew something about the physique of a power center, we could, by analogy, tell you so much more about the physical universe.
Okay. So back up, and it says, the physical reality of the universes is symbolic of the perceivable reality of the Almighty Supreme. Create another parallel sentence. The superphysical, or you know, the mindal and spiritual reality of the universes is symbolic of the perceivable reality of the Universal Mother. Okay? That's the, you know, that's the rest of that paragraph. See, they did away with the Almighty Supreme in the first little thing there, and then they give you all that rest of that picture. And you notice in words like coordinating, over control, you know, and the rest of that, you know, totality attitudes, coordinating action, cosmic over control, functionality of the mother. Okay. It's all there. That's, you know, just all you have to do is just notice they labeled the first part, then they gave you a whole second part. It doesn't have a label. It's the exact same thing over and over and over and over.
And you still don't get it.
Yeah.
Because you forget the second part.
All you have to do is notice the whole thing all at once, and it's very obvious. And then that last part. This is, again, think about this where we have creator, controller, upholder, where we've very purposely put them in this order where the power beings are right next to the mothers, stressing the closeness of that relationship first over the closeness of this relationship of mothers to creators. See what they just said there? You know, they said if they could just, if you knew something about the physique of a power center, okay, here's a power center right next to a mother, okay, the mothers. They said if you knew what a power center looked like, you would have a really good picture of what the living organism, the individuality of the whole looks like. They're pointing out how intimately those two are related. So, you know, even they started out with the intelligence circuits. You know, mind, okay, you're thinking mother, and then they go, but then there's these energy lanes. Well, that's not really mother. Remember the okay, energy lanes, the intimacy between the controllers and the mothers. See, okay. So they're trying to help you slowly build this better appreciation of how the manifestation of mother looks like. See this, so that you can have a perceivable reality that you can recognize as the universal mother, or at least something that's symbolic of the perceivable reality of the universal mother. See, that's what they're leading you to recognize.
Much as mortals look to solar energy for life maintenance, so does the grand universe depend upon the unfailing energies emanating from the nether paradise to sustain the material activities and cosmic motions of space. Mind has been given to mortals wherewith they may become self-conscious of identity and personality. And mind, even a supreme mind, has been bestowed upon the totality of the finite, whereby the spirit of this emerging personality of the cosmos ever strives for the mastery of energy matter. Mortal man is responsive to spirit guidance, even as the grand universe responds to the far-flung spirit gravity grasp of the eternal sun. The universal supermaterial cohesion of the eternal spiritual values of all the creations of the finite cosmos of time and space.
Just maybe want to make one point there. Thinking about these two levels, levels 5 and 6 here, the cosmic levels, they're kind of going up through them, in a sense, those last two paragraphs. Like I pointed out, you know, this is, you know, very definitively mind that you can comprehend on level 5 there. The highest level of mind. You go up to 6, that's that, you can't even say it's a, like you said on the previous level, where it's a universal spirit mind presence. It's just a universal spirit presence up on that 6th level, and that's what they're talking about here. This, you know, the spirit gravity grasp, okay, that super material cohesion of the eternal spiritual values. That's, you know, the presence of the eternal mother son. Okay, the fact that, you know, that the eternal mother son is not just this the most remote of sort of existential facts. There's a cosmic presence of that existential fact that touches us. That's what they're talking about here. You know, they're talking about. You have the eternal mother son imposing a cosmic presence of herself, and that cosmic presence is called, you know, the universal spirit presence, the spirit gravity, the, you know, super material cohesion. Okay, that's what it is. And we have to have that somehow directly engaged to us or we could never become a first circler. That's what it means to be a first circler, is that's, you are intimately in that spirit gravity grasp. Okay? It's so direct now, like we're saying, if you think of the circles as ever inward around that central cylinder, that central rod of the thought adjuster, once you're in a first circler, that spirit gravity grasp has literally pulled that that first circler right intimately around the thought adjuster. Gravity is pulling you tightly around the thought adjuster. Okay, now all you have to do is find the right synchronization to lock in. Yeah.
Would you call it like super mind or pre-mind?
Right, it's, you know, it's really super mind, yeah. All right, let's see. So where were we? Oh, yeah, right here, yeah.
Mortal man is responsive to spirit. Human beings are capable of making an everlasting self-identification with total and indestructible universe reality, fusion with the indwelling thought adjuster. Likewise, does the supreme everlastingly depend on the absolute stability of original deity, the paradise trinity.
Okay, so use your picture here to understand that sentence. Okay, the first part's talking about you. You know, and we very can literally see that, where, you know, the zero psychic circle, the foundation point there, is, you know, a fragment of the infinite upholder, that thought adjuster. You know, so this paragraph, the first thing you're saying, okay, think about your foundation, this literal substance foundation. You know, when you fuse with that thought adjuster, yourself has a foundation, the thought adjuster. So think about that foundational relationship. There's a parallel. Okay, but now it's not a literal substantive foundation. You know, the Supreme doesn't literally have the Paradise Trinity as a substance foundation, because remember, the Trinity doesn't really have attributes. It has functions. Okay, so this is a functional foundation. Okay, in the same way that we're intimately a literal substance foundation, they're saying just as intimate, that the Paradise Trinity is this functional foundation for the Supreme. That's the parallel they're drawing there.
Man's urge for paradise perfection, his striving for God attainment, creates a genuine divinity tension in the living cosmos, which can only be resolved by the evolution of an immortal soul. This is what happens in the experience of a single mortal creature. But when all creatures and all creators in the grand universe likewise strive for God attainment and divine perfection, there is built up a profound cosmic tension which can only find resolution in the sublime synthesis of almighty power with the spirit person of the evolving God of all creatures, the Supreme Being.
Sponsored?
Yes. Sponsored by a mighty messenger temporarily sojourning on Urantia.
The only being that could have written something like that.
Okay, so the last little thing, they give us just two things. Presaging the next paper, you know, one of the things that's going to happen, they're going to talk about the oversoul. They're, you know, okay, you know, so they invoke this, you know, this immortal, your soul, so what's the parallel on high? You know, there must be a parallel. That parallel is the Supreme Being, like they end up the sentence here. But again, notice that last part. Look closely at the construct of that sentence. Yeah. It says there is a sublime synthesis. The name for that sublime synthesis is the Supreme Being. A synthesis of what? Of two things. Of almighty power, with the spirit person. Okay? The Almighty Supreme, the Universal Mother, synthesized together as the Supreme Being. Okay, same thing. Yeah, and there, just, you mean, you've got to carefully understand, okay, what that last little parenthetical is referring to. Okay, it's, you know, you have to recognize it's tied to the sublime synthesis. That is parenthetical to that. You know, it's the sublime synthesis, the Supreme Being. And what is that synthesis? It's just blank and blank. Okay, little details like that. Are going to be extremely important as we go into the next paper. What does a parenthetical mean? If you make, you know, I mean, a parenthetical statement can mean several different things. If you select the wrong sense of that parenthetical, you'll have more distortion of meaning. Okay. You've got to figure out, you know, if you look up parenthetical in the dictionary, you'll see it doesn't just one kind of thing. For instance, like you go up, remember how you go up in the Jesus papers and they're talking about error and evil, and they actually put one as a parenthetical of the other. It's like, oh, well, they're synonyms, you could assume. I think this parenthetical means they're synonyms. Well, if you assume error and evil are synonyms, you know, you're going to be totally confused. Okay, that's not what that parenthetical means. Some parentheticals mean synonym. Not all parentheticals mean synonyms. If you make the wrong choice, there, choices, yeah, okay, make the wrong decision, you're going to misunderstand. You're going to distort what the sentence means, and everything that you read after that's going to be distorted. You've got to be very careful about what you assume a parenthetical means. And you'll see why I'm stressing this. This seems like, you know, maybe just a minor point, but it's a very major point. If you don't do that, you can't overcome the fact that the book is written to be evolutional, not revolutional. It's written so that if you're coming from that father perspective and you're not really yet ready for something bigger, you can read the sentence and the parentheticals don't really cause any great conflict, and okay, you kind of just roll through, and it's okay, this is somehow more about the father. It's very confusing, but I'll just keep going. And you know, but if you think really carefully, you know, they try to be very precise so that you can distinguish the mother component out of the father.
Those who have confused. Ears to hear.
Right. And it's literally that precise. If you make the wrong assumption about a parenthetical, you'll mix it up.
Go fly it off.
So, yep.
You know, since we have a propensity to believe in magic,
yeah.
How is this, what they're describing here, different from magic?
Uh-oh.
The way it's different from magic is it should be starting to come to light in that we don't just have the word God in the book. We've got all kinds of words. We've got tables of words like this. We have this vast cosmology that's being laid out. The only way to be able to let go of magic is to grab a hold of the full cosmology. In all of human history, they knew we weren't ready for it, that our minds were not even remotely big enough to handle, you know, even a 2,000-page distillation of infinity. They think that some of us are ready now, and so they've given this to us. You know, and if you, to overcome the magic and just know, you know, be able to point to where there's still mystery, but no magic. You've got to wrap your mind around all of the details. And as we're discovering, even wrapping your mind around the seven absolutes of infinity doesn't get you very far. You still end up having a lot of magic in the picture. To really be able to push all the magic out of the picture and be able to think precisely and literally about everything, you've got to get your mind around all of this complexity. I mean, because infinity has consequences.
So is magic a naive view of what's actually going on.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there is mystery, necessary and unnecessary mystery. Basically the necessary mystery we haven't been intelligent enough to recognize. We haven't had enough vision of the whole to even recognize that essential mystery, like the mysteries of the, you know, the Father's spheres, secrets of the spheres. But the unnecessary mystery, that's what we've been calling magic. You know, you don't have to invoke magic, for instance, to understand evolution. But because scientists don't have all of this cosmology, they have no choice. The only way they can have some theory about evolution is to have it start with the sentence, "In the beginning, there was magic." That's the first sentence of the current evolutionary theory. Right. You know, there is no way to have it start anywhere else because you don't have the cosmology. You don't have master physical controllers, life carriers, mind, spirit, life animation. We could go on for an hour just listing the number of things that are not in the picture. And all of that is just this, magical thing. You have a blob of mud and magically it turns into an organism. That's the theory.
So it's really, it's putting a negative spin on magic, but it's really ignorance or unknowing.
That's childish. Right. In the same way they're trying to get you, prayer has always been synonymous with magic. Invocation of magic. People have always thought that the word prayer meant, I can, if I say the right words, I can puppet the gods. I can get what I want. I can magically manipulate things.
Because I know the magician.
Right. Or the Latin or whatever it takes to invoke the magic.
That's what I left Catholicism.
Can you separate, magic from everything? Prayer, science, everything. Can you get all the magic out? The only way to do it is with the revelation. You've got to have everything in here in order to have a theory of evolution that doesn't invoke magic.
Is that really the first sentence?
Ask a neo-Darwinist, where life came from.
I probably would try to avoid answering the question first.
They do one of two things. Either they put the question off and they say, I believe that life got deposited here by a comet. Well, it's like, how did life, start on some other world, and then end up here, if you push them to an actual starting point, the only theory that any of those neo-Darwinists have come up with is magic crystals. Literally. They go, a quartz crystal, is kind of has pattern, and life kind of has patterns. Well, I think that in the beginning, there was the mud bubbling, on the earth, and it stuck onto a crystal, and the mud shaped itself into the likeness of the crystal and became life. That's the theory. Okay, does that sound like it's more reasonable than life carriers and, energy transformers and... No, I think I'll take a causal, source for life, not a magical one. Okay, it didn't begin with magic crystals. Okay, it began with the hands of the first source and center, initiating everything. And then the hands of the mother upholding everything. That's how life came to be and how life continues to be. Because of the father and the mother and all that results from the existence of the father and the mother. The entire cosmos is required for there to be life.
So this is naive, but how would you, because you could back it up, where did the supreme being get the goods to make life?
Right. It all backs up to a first cause. The first source and center of all things and all beings. There has to be an uncaused cause.
Okay.
could never have a beginning.
You take everything back, and you have in itself. You know, it's self-minded. It's self-personalized. Self. You know, remember, and we went through that with when we were studying total deity. You know, you take everything back, and there's all of those lines lead back to a self something. You know, that's, you know, in the beginning, self-willed deity willed there to be something besides the I am. It begins with that self-will. But after that initial point, everything is what you would call logical. Everything is causal. But there's an uncaused cause. There's a first source and center of all things and beings.
Still not magic.
Still not magic. You know, and it's, and you know, like we've demonstrated in going through that total deity paper. Not only is it not magical, even though it's talking about things that are really, really remote, you can talk about them with all kinds of precision, even using mathematics, set theory to help, you know, lay out the patterns of it. And I mean, it is very approachable because it is all logical. There's no magic. You know, there is no point at which it goes fuzzy. It's all solid. No magic.
Inconsistent.
Yeah. Absolutely consistent. Absolutely causal. All right. So there you have it. So we'll jump into the to this top down view, God the Supreme, that unity viewpoint word, next time, and we'll see how they start very slow. In a sense, they're gonna retell some of the story, but with this more direct purpose, to see if they can get us to the point where when they give us the word, it's like, yeah, I know what you're talking about when you say the Universal Mother. Because I've seen it in this paragraph, in this paragraph, in this paragraph, all those things that you told me that you didn't name, give a proper name for. I know what this proper name implies to. I've been reading about it for two papers already. That's what they're building us to. All right, let's take a moment.